Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Something spooky is going on. We've both turned up to record this podcast wearing red blouses. How did that happen?
It's a bit odd, isn't it? I've got red lipstick on as well. It's like we've got a midlife uniform. Do you think we're saying something? Or is the moon in retrograde or something ridiculous?
Bit of telepathy, I think. We're in sync with each other across the Zoom airwaves.
That is the power of very angry midlife women. They can reach each other. Anyway, you look lovely.
Oh, and so do you. Snap.
Hello. Welcome to Postcards from Midlife. I'm Trish Halpin.
And I'm Lorraine Candy. And we're on a mission to tackle all the big and small issues that affect women at this stage of our life. From insomnia to mind and body wellness, HRT to sex drive, careers and relationships, and as always, the challenges and joys of parenting teens.
In today's episode, we're going to be talking to actress Tamsin Althwaite about finding love with a younger man when she least expected it, and the midlife comedy that is finally showing the world what it's really like to be a perimenopausal woman. Plus, we'll be looking into why teens and basic logic just don't seem to go hand in hand, as well as some trying, some testing, and some nostalgia noodling.
So, I need to talk about some things. I need to talk about the dogs.
You need to get it off your chest. Get it off your chest. Oh, what's Pixel been up to now?
Welsh Terrier. Very yappy. Really antisocial.
Oh, God.
We think we have to get a behavioural pet therapist in to deal with her.
Oh, goodness.
Yeah, she's so yappy, I think one of the neighbours might shoot her at some point.
Oh, God.
And our lovely lady next door, who quietly sits in the garden having a cigarette at the end of the day, which annoys Pixel for some reason. And the dog has tried to burrow through to give her a right telling off.
Under the fence.
Telling off under the fence.
Yeah. Oh, no.
It's driving me mad. So I'm going to try and get a pet therapist in. But I can't get a husband therapist in. They don't exist, apparently.
What's poor old James been doing to upset you?
He started to do that thing that annoys me a lot, Trish. Mm. He's hoarding things again.
What?
So he's putting some old car together that he bought, that his dad bought for him just before his dad died. So it's a very emotional thing he's doing, putting the car together.
Nice, yeah.
I don't know what it is. I'm not very interested in cars. But he keeps buying pieces for it. And so that I don't get cross about all this stuff coming into the house, he hides it and hoards it. So I found a bumper under
Where?
The sofa.
Under
the
bed?
Day.
Under the sofa?
No, it's under the sofa. Does Neil do that?
We have a shed and a man cave, which is also sort of like where the boiler is. That's where he's allowed to go.
Comfy.
And he's got all sorts of things in there. I very rarely venture in, but that's where all his sort of crap goes. But he's actually sort of renovating a motorbike. So similar things, but it's
Why?
Kind of down the back of the garden behind a bit of a fence.
Oh,
so
no,
I'm
mine's
kind of
in
okay
the lounge. Mine's in the lounge, Trish.
So mine's not quite up to your level, but very similar.
How's Margot? Sure. Tell me what Margot did this week.
Oh, well, this week she's having a bit of a dirty protest in my vegetable patch. And so I've planted up my very, very small, because we're talking London gardens here, tiny little kitchen garden, which I've
When you say vegetable, you mean vegetable singular, don't you?
No,
it's a potato.
It's not potato. No point doing potatoes. Rocket, spinach, kale. And a few other things like that. Really good, actually. Love it. But obviously Margot's decided to use that as her toilet, which is just so annoying. I can't tell you.
Is Margot my spirit animal?
I think you'd love her. I think you'd both get on really
That's
well.
Why cats don't like me.
Because you're too similar.
You're feline.
You are quite feline.
Now it's
time to welcome our special guest. She's one of the nation's best-loved actresses who has been starring for more than two decades in TV and theatre, from EastEnders to Chekhov's The Seagull. Most recently, she's kept us laughing in lockdown in the brilliant Warts and All midlife comedy Dumb Breeding, which we watched in weekly 15-minute episodes on YouTube. So welcome, Tamsin Outhwaite.
How are you doing?
I'm very well, thank you. Thanks for having me on.
Dumb Breeding has definitely been one of the joys of lockdown. And for those listeners who haven't seen it, can you just explain the storyline and how it came about?
So it's about six friends, well, six women, and they've been friends, been through an awful lot together. And now they are going through the menopause. And the menopause is the link to each woman. Because we don't really see much about the menopause, and we certainly don't see it in drama or comedy. In fact, if we see it in comedy, it's someone laughing at the woman who's menopausal. We never see women laughing at themselves making the jokes. It's always somebody else making the joke about, you know, the moodiness or the sweats or the hot flushes, you know, the classics. And there's so much more to it. So when Julie first asked me about it,
Julie Graham.
That's right. So she wrote it. Julie Graham and I worked together as actors. When she writes, I know she writes from quite a raw, unkind of polished place. It's not.
I think that's the joy of Dumb Breeding, because it is unpolished, and it, the subject matter that you tackle. So it's not like you've just tackled midlife. You've really gone there with everything.
Yeah. The response from women of a certain age just saying, gosh, why do we not see this? Why do we not feel represented? You know, and I think that that's really true. I don't know any drama, any comedy or drama that tackles that. There seems to be a stigma that we don't touch. And that is because I suppose menopausal women are not seen as sexy, attractive, desirable, aspirational.
Or even useful.
Or useful, absolutely. You know, so I think what's happening with it is you're seeing strong, powerful women being shaken by the menopause, not knowing how to cope, but all dealing with it in their own way and still having power and humour. You know, the humour that comes from a woman of a certain age who's very comfortable in her own skin, doesn't care what people think, and the dialogue that goes on between those women, I'm interested in that. I would watch that.
We love that there's like this huge love and affection among this group of friends for each other in the series. Do you think friends have become even more important for you in midlife?
Yes, I think. But for me, they've always been important because I think you go through an awful lot of ups and downs in life if you have a passionate soul. And I think my friends have been there and very much, you know, a huge part of my life, not just, you know, it's all about my family and my friends come. It's like my friends are my family. So, and I know that I can call on anyone, any one of them, and be like, I don't do it often. I'm not very good at asking for help. So if I am, they know that if they get a 4 o'clock in the morning phone call, it's serious.
As an actor, there's so much pressure on what you look like, who you are, and your choices around everything as you get older. How have you navigated that? Because I presume your body, I mean, all our bodies change from the age of about 45 onwards and things. And how has that made you feel about yourself? I found it, I've focused on it. It's really annoyed
focused
me.
Focused on your body changing?
So I'm getting bigger and not being able to, you know, affect what I wear and looking at this face and thinking, what's that? Where did that all cut? It just makes me more cross than I am. But no one's looking at me all day, every day. And you're kind of being looked at all the time as an actor. How have you dealt with that? Have you rationalised that in your head?
Never read the comments.
No, never.
On anything. On anything. Whether it's an article, an interview, just don't read the comments, because that really can get inside your psyche. I try to think, I mean, Julie Graham's a great example, because I try to think, what would Julie do? Because she did face the menopause in a very open way. So I listen to her, because she's got her voice of reason is a powerful one in my head. I always would be able to say to Julie, Julie, I'm getting a bit chubs. And she would go, God, who cares? Always go, who cares? Does your man like you? Does he still find you attractive? Nothing else matters.
Tell us about your man then, because that's a wonderfully uplifting story as far as I'm concerned.
Well, we've been together 3 years.
The 20-year age gap.
20 years.
Yeah.
I first met him when he was 23. He worked in my yoga studio and he was very chatty and very cheeky, shall we say. And we had a proper connection the first time I met him. About 3 or 4 years later, we bumped into each other literally up the road and he walked into a lamppost saying hello to me.
Oh, fate. Oh. It's a love story.
Which was quite funny. And he very definitely made me smile and laugh. I just thought, I really want this person in my life, and he felt the same way. So I don't think it was like, oh, we're going to be together. I think we just liked being around each other. And then it goes from, I like being around you, to I never want to not be with you. So obviously you're not then going to give in to the pressure of the 20-year age gap and not be around each other if it feels so right.
And it makes you happy.
And it made both of us really happy. Obviously we did question it for quite a while. You know, you kind of resist it because you think this obviously can't work with this age gap. And then when I started looking around at, actually loads of women are in relationships.
We interviewed Kate Garraway about this just after she came out of the jungle.
Yeah.
And she'd been in with a very, but there'd been lots of comments because the Miles, much younger man, had said to her, it's not, we don't worry about it as men. You worry about it.
Yeah.
So we're not worried about it. It's you, it's women who talk about it because society makes us think this shouldn't work. It's not right.
Let's talk about the other way round. It's very normal.
Yeah, I mean, nobody bats an eyelid about Boris Johnson and Carrie Simmons, do they?
No, not one bat
of an eyelid.
I know lots of male relationships that I read about. I don't know them because they're generally in Hollywood. But the men seem to be, some of them are like 30 years older. And I never go, oh, that's disgusting.
No, it's a very strange narrative. It's a bit like the narrative making fun of women for hot flushes.
Yes.
It's kind of like taking
the mickey out of middle-aged women, because in your head they are little old Aunt Flo's on a rocking chair knitting. And yeah, I can't really, after my experiences I don't think that everything is always forever. I mean, I don't kind of go, oh, this has to be forever.
Yeah.
What I do think is I'm really in the moment and enjoying the time now. And although he hates me saying this, if he, you know, in a couple of years' time really wanted kids, I would give him my blessing. I really don't feel like, no, you've got to be here forever. You know, I'm just having a lovely time.
We did a survey on women coming out of relationships in their midlife 2 years ago, and we thought we would discover a quite underconfident group of women starting. Actually, we discovered a really confident group of women who weren't looking for the one anymore.
No.
And they were so relieved they didn't have to find the one.
It's liberating because I've got my kids. I don't need to get married and I don't need children. So actually, I'm at the freest point, really, in my life. I'm glad that I managed to fit my children into my life cycle.
Yes.
Having somebody that makes my day-to-day feel so bright and exciting and fun. And I do describe him as somebody that feels like he's like my home. He feels like home, very familiar. But at the same time, he feels like my adventure.
And before you got together, you and Tom got together, had you done any dating coming out of your divorce?
Yeah.
You got back into the world of dating?
I came out of a marriage in 2013, and the world of dating was a bit, it was mucky. It didn't feel very, I don't know, very clean. I'm a bit of a serial monogamist, so I've never done that kind of dating for 2 weeks or...
Yeah.
And I've never had an internet dating profile anywhere because I've just not worked out how you go about that.
Did it fill you with doubt though, or self-doubts around your body, who you were and all of that? It's quite a lot to overcome, isn't it? Especially if you've been through a divorce, which is quite a raw,
it's
a really painful thing to go through. How do you get that confidence back?
It took time and also work helps because it's such a massive healer. So when a job came along, then it's like you can get your teeth into something that feels like it's about you, and you get your confidence back at work because people treat you with respect, and mm-hmm. you feel like you know, you feel useful and you feel like you're good at it, I suppose.
Mm-hmm. Coming back to what we were talking about earlier and the representation of midlife women, are there enough good roles being written for women?
It's often very, very physical when you see a description.
Yes. Yeah.
In a script.
Yeah.
She's tall, she's elegant, she's this, she's that, you know. And what I love about what Julie's done, and probably a lot of other dramas are starting to do more so now, I think, is talk about the woman, her essence and her soul and her drive and her passion and her strength and her power and her humour. You know, that's what we want to see, because that's what represents an awful lot of us. It's not yeah. somebody who's just floating around looking pretty.
I think because society's slightly scared of women with all that power.
Yeah,
that's kind of one of my theories. We're a little bit worried about a woman with a ton of experience, a lot of power, you know, someone yes. who's got a kind of very much what the hell, I'm going to do what I, that is quite, and also full of rage. That is quite scary. And I think also the word menopause somehow feels quite negative. Yeah. Trish and I talk about this a lot. It feels like that is a medical problem. So we say there's something wrong immediately. It's not, it's about hormone replacements. So totally.
Mm. Yes.
If we could come up with a new word, we'd be a bit further down the road.
Yeah. I mean, I'd love to find a new word for the menopause, like mm-hmm. it's some kind of doom. I mean, finding the humour in it. Mm-hmm. is the way to kind of deal with it.
And we can only do that if we actually start talking about it.
Absolutely. But you see, like, we talk about it in the house because my 11-year-old is obviously about to, she's getting mm-hmm. very hormonal. Mm-hmm. She's puberty every, you know, that hasn't started her periods yet, but we talk about it. But so she's going through that at the same time as her mum is probably mm-hmm. going through the menopause.
Perfect storm.
Mm-hmm. Cut to next year when I'm going, I'm doing it now!
All the hormones.
Yeah, but so my bloke is like, Tom's like, so I'm going to be living in a house with a teenage stepdaughter and a partner going through their menopause. Yeah. It's like being a peacemaker. It's like
yeah,
that whole time, because obviously we're going to rise to any kind of rage quicker than anyone else.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But then that energy breeds the same kind of thing. So my 7-year-old gets very angsty if either one of us get angry. So, yeah, it is a hothouse, but it has to be talking about, mm-hmm. spoken about.
I think so. I've got mm-hmm. 3 daughters and a son, and I think that perfect storm of all the hormones all the time, we have to talk about it because we can kind of, we can see it coming towards us on some days. And I think, well, I've got to be the grown up and keep calm in this situation. Mm. But actually it's very hard to control all that hormonal.
Do you ever lose it though?
Yes. Mine's gone. Since I went on HRT, I went on HRT in February
right.
after many years of not even thinking about it. And honestly, I feel really chilled, relaxed, just quite normal again. The brain fog has gone.
Tell Tamsin in what you did to that Hoover in the hotel, Trish.
Oh, this was a few years when I was, I think I had about 4 years of rage.
Your peak.
Peak yeah. rage.
And
peak
I got, was it 4 years?
Oh, at least, yeah. I would say at least 4 years. And I just didn't, I was one of those classic, I didn't know what it was. I thought I needed therapy. I just hadn't joined the dots and thought this is my perimenopause. Oh. You know, it was really silly. And, well, not silly, because I just didn't have the information. Yeah, so basically we were on holiday in a hotel and the kids were just being so annoying, you know, at breakfast, shoving croissants in their pockets. And as we went back up and they were mucking around, I just saw this Hoover and I kicked it out the hall in this really nice hotel. I was just furious.
Yeah,
and of course, that's gone down in family history, that little
Hoover episode.
Yeah. I don't think anything, I can't even ever imagine now wanting to kick a Hoover down the hall. So
no, of course.
I mean, yeah.
I mean, the other day I did scream that if I don't, I'm going for a walk, if I don't get out of this house, I'm going to kill someone.
Yeah.
My 6-year-old just started crying and went, you said you're going to kill someone.
Oh, bless.
And I said, of course I'm not going to kill someone. I remember my mum saying that now. And then I thought, maybe that was my mum going through the menopause and she didn't know. She didn't go to a doctor at HRT. Yeah. She just had a few months of being a bit growly.
And what happens next with Dunbreeding then? So how many episodes will there be, do you think? And what will you do at the end of it? How will you keep it going?
What we're trying, what Julie wants to do, is after episode 9, come out of lockdown, hopefully, and make episode 10 where we're all together.
Oh,
yeah.
But that's like that's brilliant. The finale of the...
That's so nice.
There's a charity element as well, isn't there?
Yes.
So, explain that.
So the charity is Trussell Trust, and that is on the Just Giving page of Dunbreeding.
And that's food banks, isn't it, Trussell
food
Trust?
Bank, they, because we thought it's quite a family thing that we're doing. We're using all of our family, and we thought that would be a really good thing. Mm.
So brilliant. We can watch and donate, so do a good thing, learn about brilliant, strong women, and feel better about ourselves for helping out. Thank you so much for coming on. It's been brilliant. And honestly, what you're doing is so great, because there isn't anything out there like it. And I think there's a momentum coming at the moment around women in midlife and a whole new way of talking about it. So the more we can spread the word, the more we will. Thank you very much.
Absolutely.
Brilliant. Thank you so much, Tamsin. Lovely to talk to you.
Bye. Lovely to talk to you both.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous 2-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Let's talk about teenagers. We're going to try and get to the bottom this week of why they can sometimes just seem so illogical and seem to lack all kinds of common sense, don't they? Lorraine, what's going on there?
I've written about this in the Sunday Times column a few times, and I've talked to a few experts about it. We say illogical because we say it from an adult point of view, because we are logical, because our brains have learnt to be logical. But theirs are undergoing such enormous change. They're basically being built at that stage. They're being rebuilt from toddler to childhood to tweens, then teens. And as all that's happening, lots and lots of stuff is going on, and they can't do the logic. They can't see. It's like they can't see a giant mess. They can put the lid on things upside down. Their brains are just not capable. We have to be very patient around that because they're forming as people. One of the things I found really helpful with this as a mum actually was to watch Sarah Jane Blakemore, the neuroscientist who's written all the big books about teenagers' brains, on YouTube, because she does some really brilliant TED Talks, which explains the change from, because they can seem quite logical around 8, 9, and 10, because you feel like they're suddenly getting it. They really do understand everything. And then they just become, it's just insane, some of the daft stuff they do. Also, they have quite a strong tendency towards risk at that age as well. And risk can be quite illogical. I would advise anyone who's going through the why on earth are they doing that, it's so illogical phase, to look at Sarah Jane Blakemore's YouTube TED Talks.
Because I think some of the advice is that we've got to do the logic for them, haven't we? That's our role at this stage, is where they just can't bring it all together. We've got to do that for them. But I find it a bit frustrating because I know I'm right, and obviously I have a lot of experience, and you give them advice and then they don't want to take it.
Yeah, they have to feel it's their idea. I think it's that sitting alongside them again, listening to them and asking them to explain what they think.
Yeah.
Happen if they shake the milk with the lid off? What will happen, do you think,
exactly,
if you do that?
Also, what will happen, your mum tells you it's going to rain because she's listened to the weather forecast, but you go out without your coat on to school and it's freezing and you come home soaking wet. And then you're surprised about that fact.
I mean, it's not all teens. I think we're going to generalise. Yeah. Some teens are very logical, but most, I would say, are not. I sometimes listen to them organising where they're going to meet in the days of festivals and things like that. And I think, well, why would you do it that way? You're all going to meet in a place, you're going to take a bus to here and a thing to there when you should all just go from this wonderful thing where they just say, oh, I'm going to meet so-and-so, and then they'll call me and say, so-and-so's not here, they've gone out. And I said, well, why have they gone out?
What
do
they want you to do about it as well?
I said, did you not organise the time and did you not take, no. She just said she'd be in the afternoon, she's not here. It's the afternoon, she's not here. And I said, but that doesn't make sense. You've just gone all that way. No one's there. No, you're sitting on a doorstep and I've got to come and get you. I said, we're going to have to make your own way home. They learn it all, but it feels very odd to arrange to do something without actually making any arrangements. I say, Trish, let's meet for a drink in a bar in London. Bye.
Yeah.
And then I'll go into London. I'll say, where Trish is not here. Where's Trish? She's not in a bar in London.
I think we had to be super organised when we were teenagers because it was like one bus an hour, wasn't there? And you had to, you know, you had to phone your friend and say 25 past at the bus garage in Harrow or whatever. Otherwise, you were done for, weren't you? We had to be sensible.
One had to be specific.
But we probably weren't. We probably weren't.
So, Trish, we have had a fabulous message to our email, postcardsfrommidlife.com, from a lovely lady called Julie, who has totally nailed midlife. I love this. I love it when
amazing
listeners send us this. So this is what Julie says. I've been married twice, and the second time was a very miserable and sexless 8 years, followed by a hellish divorce. At 51, I moved to a new city with my daughter, despite not knowing anyone. I've been affected by anxiety and mood swings, but I wasn't sure whether it was due to all the uncertainty of life or if it was hormonally induced. I have the appearance of someone very strong, but there is little between my outside armor and a hugely sensitive heart. I've stayed single for ages, but last year, a very gorgeous Italian man appeared on my doorstep. He is 12 years younger than me, but we are in a relationship, and I am planning to go to Italy to do an Italian course. In between some enjoyable, listen to this, Trish, multi-orgasmic lovemaking. Carpe diem, she says.
Oh my goodness, carpe diem, seize the day.
Julie
is seizing the day.
Nailed it, nailed midlife.
I wonder if she could tell us how you get a 12 years younger than you, a sexy Italian, to turn up on your doorstep.
Are you not a magnet for sexy Italians?
if only.
So, Trish, tell me what you have been trying and testing this week, and has it worked?
I've been dabbling in a bit of teeth whitening because I just thought, you know, it's sort of something that could kind of brighten things up. And make
what is this for your Hollywood blockbuster debut?
Yeah, my Tom Cruise Nashers. Yes, that's what I'm aiming for. But I discovered this brand called High Smile. What I liked about it is you get this teeth whitening kit. It costs $49.99 online, very easy. And it includes this matte rubbery mouth tray with three syringes, which are 6 days worth of this gel that you put into the mouth guard. But then you attach the mouth guard to this funny little LED device and shove it in your gob and sit there for 10 minutes. Minutes with this
I'm
thing.
Just imagining this.
There'll be a picture on our Instagram and on the Facebook group, so you can have a little look at me. So in the kit is this card that's got 1 to 13 with the different shades of what your teeth can be. One is obviously Tom Cruise Nashers, once again, all sparkly. And then down to 13, which is really quite unpleasant and a bit brown. But I was a number 5 before, and I'm definitely a number 4 now. So I'm really quite pleased with that.
So how long has that taken?
6 days.
And I really?
Think you repeat it every sort of 3 or 4 months, I think. So I can just send off some more of these gels and then just do it every 3 to 4 months.
And can you drink coffee and red wine?
Well, it says when you're doing the treatment, you shouldn't really be drinking coffee and red wine. And I succeeded with the red wine, so I don't really drink red wine. But coffee, but I didn't drink too much. But I'm really pleased with it. I would obviously say to anyone who's really got any particular concerns about their teeth, there's obviously a lot of different cosmetic things you can do. Probably start with your dentist first and foremost, but I was just wanting a little bit of a brightening effect. And I think quite often it's about stain removal. Yeah, so that's what I've been doing. What about you, Lorraine?
Well, I have been trying an indoor bicycle, exercise bicycle. Now, I'm not a big fan of spinning because I'm not at one with any form of bicycle.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not good on a bicycle. But actually, I have borrowed a bike called a Techno Gym, which is linked to various classes. It's kind of like a Peloton, but I don't think it doesn't offer as many classes. So you have a big screen in front of you, you sit on the bike, and you basically get fit with resistance. So you turn your mm-hmm. resistance up and down, so you can put your headphones on, book a class, and you sit in it and you go through the class. We've got it in the lounge, and the children continue to play Fortnite while you're on the bike. The good things are it's really quick. You just put on your trainers and your thing, and you can just go down and do half an hour or an hour. Within about 10 minutes, you're covered in sweat, though.
Mm. Flicking it round the lounge. I'm not sure I'm liking the idea of it being in the lounge.
That was the reason I've resisted this up until now. It doesn't actually take... It's very, very heavy. It weighs about the same as a small car, I think. But it doesn't take up a lot of space.
Well, James has got his bumper in there as well.
There's all bits of everything in that lounge.
It's the hardware in your lounge.
It's really good. I've really enjoyed it. I think you'd probably want to look at trying to subscribe to lots of classes with it.
And how much does it cost? Do you rent the bike? You see, this is the thing.
It's about £2,500. So it's a massive, massive investment. But I would say I've used it almost every day for a month now, because you don't have to really commit to anything, and you can stop when you want to. You do look a bit silly, is all I'd say. I was on it the other day, and a neighbour walked past, and I could just, it was probably the funniest thing he'd seen all day. And I found my son has been using it, and I noticed that he'd done exactly the same course as me, 1,000 times faster on a much higher resistance. But Trish appeared to have been eating a bag of Doritos at the same time.
No, cheesy, all around mess all over the place.
All around the bottom of it. Orange all over the handles.
Oh no. But actually though, if all the family were going to use it in terms of investment, could be.
I think if someone said, what do you want for your 50th? I might have said, actually, this would be brilliant. Yeah, because it has really kept them all occupied. Everybody's had a go on it, and you can do it at whatever pace. It just also gets that kind of do some exercise thing into their head. So if there's four or five of you using it, it probably is worth the investment, and you can upgrade your classes as well. It's time to step back in time and find out what little bit of life is coming back into your life. What nostalgia noodling have you been doing?
Well, this is something that I think should be in my life every day of my life. But I sort of got into one of those rabbit hole things where you're looking at something online. And then I started watching all Kate Bush's music videos, her videos,
particularly
the ones, the dancing is, and you forget she was such an amazing dancer, and the choreography. So my particular favorite is, do you remember Sat in Your Lap, where she's sitting on the floor cross leg and she's sort of shaking her head really vigorously from side to side, which if I tried to do that at my age would obviously give myself some kind of injury, but she looks amazing. And then suddenly she's roller skating around a church hall wearing a dance cap.
I mean, is this a Kate Bush video, or is this a dream you had last night?
You might well ask. And can I just say, babushka, one word that conjures up a vision, a goddess in that mad outfit. And I just love that. She's so brilliant. I just think we all need a bit of Kate in our lives. What about you, Lorraine? What's been your little trip down memory lane?
Well, on my bicycle in my lounge, I have had to listen to some new music, which I can't do because I don't know any of the new songs. And I can't listen to what my teenagers listen to because there's a lot of swearing, Trish.
Oh, no, heaven forbid.
So what I've discovered on Spotify is all our 80s. Have you been to this?
I haven't, but it's my kind of town.
It's the dream. It's absolutely everything. I've had the Hole of the Moon from the Waterboys, Fleetwood Mac. There's a lot of that. Hall & Oates, Tiffany, I Think We're Alone Now, Only You, Yazoo. There's a lot of Prince. I'm a massive Prince fan. There's a lot of Prince. There's obviously Wake Me Up Before You Go-Go, which I thought was much later, but actually no.
And what's your favourite? What's your favourite?
Well, it triggered a memory of mine. So there's Come On Eileen, Dexy's Midnight Runners, which is like an anthem of the 80s.
Dungarees, ahoy.
Then I realised that I know Eileen.
Eileen herself.
Actual Eileen in the video, the girl in the video, who is it's my friend Maura Fahey, who's obviously related to Bananarama Fahey. And it's just so extraordinary to think that I've known her sort of in the last 10, 15 years, but she was in that video in the early 80s. It's just kind of a lovely...
We all wanted to be her, didn't we?
Yes!
And you know dungarees. Her. Yes. Oh, I love it. Love
That's
that
my fashion dream as well, Trish, to wear dungarees.
And what's stopping you?
Well, I can't. I look, just honestly, look like something out of a children's TV. Some kind of dodgy children's TV entertainer. Even when I was pregnant, I couldn't wear them in a kind of stylish, lovely way. It looked ridiculous. Should we both wear them next time?
Definitely. Yeah. Let's get some dungarees.
They're not for short women, dungarees. We've come to the end of another episode of Postcards from Midlife.
So if you enjoyed the episode, please do rate us and subscribe via your podcast provider. And you can also listen to the podcast on the Times Radio app. So if you don't have that yet, go to your app store and download it. We love to hear your stories, so do keep sending us all of those, as well as your adventures, to Postcards from Midlife website or our Facebook group. And we'll be back again this time next week.
Goodbye.
Goodbye.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.